Bibles this morning, let's turn to the book of Genesis in chapter 41. We want to continue our study in the life of Joseph. Certainly a great example for us. Learn many lessons that we can learn from Joseph as we go through these things. Let me begin this morning by asking you one of my famous dumb questions. Okay, here, are you ready for it? Here it is. Have you ever been lied to? Oh, you haven't? Wow. How lucky you people are. Yeah, the truth of the matter is we've all been lied to from time to time. And I'm not talking about the intentional lies that are designed to hurt. I'm not talking about those kind of lies. I'm talking about those kind of lies that they're actually told with the very best of intentions, you know. They're told with the best of intentions. For example, somebody promises they're going to do this and this and this, and they're going to do it by a certain time, and then they don't do it. They had good intentions, they just did not follow through. We've all been there, we've all experienced that, and even Joseph, as we're going to see in our text today, he experienced the very same thing. Now you remember we saw that Joseph was serving as a seer, and the seer, you remember, back in olden times, that was what they called a prophet. And so Joseph he's a seer, he's a prophet, and he's serving in that capacity there in Pharaoh's prison house. And you remember how that there in the prison, as he was serving, two new inmates were brought into the prison. There was the chief butler and the chief baker who were brought in. And these men, they dreamed some dreams, and the Lord God enabled Joseph, you remember, to interpret the meaning of the dreams. And God allowed him to be able to do that. And then we saw how that not only did God allow Joseph to interpret the dreams, but God in His sovereignty worked it all out so that exactly what they dreamed, it all came to pass exactly as Joseph had said. And so we saw how that the chief butler then was restored to his position, given his old job back and all of that. The chief baker, on the other hand, he did not fare so well. He was executed. Okay? He was executed. But you remember when Joseph told the chief butler that he was going to be restored to his position. When Joseph told the chief butler, in 3 days you're going to be lifted up, you're going to be honored and brought back to your position, you're going to be reinstated as there in Pharaoh's house, all of that. You remember Joseph made a request. And the request is found in verse number 14. Joseph said to the chief butler, "Now when you get restored and you're back in your position, think on me." In other words, remember me. May I come to your mind, in other words. Think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house. In other words, Joseph's request was that when the butler was released, that the butler might remember Joseph, and that he might put in a good word to Pharaoh, and that he might be able to come out of the prison house. Now the Bible does not tell us the answer this man gave, but knowing something about human nature, after receiving such a wonderful promise that his freedom is going to see soon given to him, and he's going to be brought out of the prison, and he's going to be restored to his old position. Knowing human nature, when the butler received that good news, I'm sure that when Joseph said, "Now, when you're released, I want you to remember me, speak to Pharaoh on my behalf," I'm sure he said something like this: "Joseph, don't you worry." Right? You ever had somebody answer like, "Don't you worry, I got your back"? I think that's what they say nowadays, right? "I got your back, don't you worry. I tell you what, as soon as I get back to my old position, first thing I'm going to do, I'm going to tell Pharaoh what a great guy you are and how you've been mistreated and all the bad luck that you've had. And I'm don't you worry, I'm going to take care of it. You can count on me." And here's the thing. I'm sure the butler was very sincere when he said it. He was very sincere when he said it. But the Bible says, verse 23, yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but he forgot him. Forgot him. It's one of those things, you've heard the saying, life gets in the way, doesn't it? We have the best intentions, we're going to do this, but life gets in the way. Life gets in the way. And that forgetfulness, the forgetfulness lasted 2 full years. That's what it tells us in Genesis chapter 41 and verse number 1. 2 full years. The butler totally forgot about Joseph. Totally forgot about him. And so for 2 years now, Joseph faithfully serves in the prison. Even after the butler's been released. He still continues to faithfully serve in the prison, hoping against hope that every day the word is going to come down that the chief butler has finally remembered his promise and has finally spoken to Pharaoh on his behalf, and that now the prison doors are going to open and Joseph is going to be released. 2 years of disappointment. 2 years of disappointment. Two things I think I want to mention here, just sort of by introduction. This is not the message, but it's a pretty good place to start. Two things. First of all, I want you to notice how that this speaks of Joseph and, first of all, his steadfastness. That wasn't me. This speaks of Joseph and his steadfastness. In other words, notice this. He's given a promise, and yet the promiser has proven to be unfaithful to keep the promise. Now the natural response would be, well, I give up. See? I've been faithful all this time, and now even this guy, help him out, and he's already forgotten all about me. I give up. In other words, it would be very natural to allow the unfaithfulness of one to affect his own faithfulness. But Joseph didn't do that. Joseph didn't do that. Even though someone he had counted on, someone he depended on, even though that chief butler had proven to be unfaithful, Joseph said, I will not allow that to affect my faithfulness to God. And I'm going to continue to do what God has put me here to do. His faithfulness. My, that's a wonderful thought. Wonderful point. But not only do we see Joseph's steadfastness, we also see Joseph's understanding. In other words, Joseph understood that even though he had done everything humanly possible to win his freedom, he's done everything humanly possible to find release from the prison house. He's done everything he knows to do, yet he fully understands, bottom line, his life is in the hand of God. His times are in the hand of God. And so therefore he was able to faithfully continue on because regardless of the circumstances that he faced, he understood God's in control of all of this. And I can either trust him or I can refuse to trust him. But Joseph said, I'm going to choose to trust him. And so we see his faithfulness, his steadfastness. We see his understanding. And you know what? 2 whole years passed. But finally, the day came. And that's what we're going to see this morning. That's what we're going to see this morning. Notice number one, Pharaoh's dreams. Pharaoh's dreams. Genesis chapter 41, verse number 1, the Bible says, at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh dreamed. 2 years have passed. Now Pharaoh has a dream. And just as the Lord God had revealed His plan and His purpose for the life of Joseph through a series of two dreams, now He's going to reveal His plan, His purpose for the nation of Israel in a series of two dreams. The nation of Egypt in a series of two dreams. And so I want you to notice, first of all, the substance of the dreams. The substance of the dreams. And the first dream, I really didn't know. I wanted to give it a real fancy sounding name, but I couldn't think of one. So I just called it the cow dream. That's deep, isn't it? The cow dream. Let's begin reading verse number 41 and beginning in verse 1. It came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh dreamed. And behold, he stood by the river. And behold, there came up out of the river 7 well-favored kine. That's another word for cow or cattle. Okay, so there were 7 well-favored kine and fat-fleshed, and they fed in a meadow. Verse number 3. And behold, 7 other kine came up after them out of the river, ill-favored and lean-fleshed, and stood by the other kine upon the brink of the river. And the ill-favored and ill-fleshed kine did eat up the 7 well-favored and fat kine. And so Pharaoh awoke. He has his dream, sees his 7 cows that are very fat, very healthy. He sees them grazing in the meadow, and then he sees these 7 other cows that are not so healthy, basically starvation situation. You can see their ribs and all of that, and these seven ill-favored kine come up, and they eat up the 7 fat ones, and Pharaoh woke up. That's the cow dream. Going along with that, then, he goes back to sleep, and then he had the corn dream. The corn dream. Verse number 5 and following, and he slept and dreamed a second time. Slept and dreamed a second time. And behold, 7 ears of corn came up upon 1 stalk, rank and good. Behold, 7 thin ears, and blasted with the east wind, sprung up after them. And the 7 thin ears devoured the 7 rank and full ears. And Pharaoh awoke, and behold, it was a dream. So Pharaoh, on one night, he has these 2 different dreams. Has a cow dream, has a corn dream. And I want you to notice then, secondly, letter B here, I want you to notice the effects of the dreams. The effects of the dreams. And as we consider the effects of the dreams, a couple of things here. First of all, they were troubling. They were troubling. In chapter 41 and verse number 8, it came to pass in the morning, the Bible says, after having the 2 dreams, next morning, Pharaoh wakes up, and the Bible says that his spirit is troubled. His spirit is troubled. One commentator, I think, has well said that he was troubled simply because of his ignorance of what it all meant. And certainly we can understand why that would be true. He's troubled because he's had these dreams, and of course Egypt during that time, they were really into dreams, and he doesn't know what it means, and it's all very troubling to him. Very troubling. Not only were these dreams troubling, but they were also baffling. They were baffling. In other words, the Bible says in chapter 41, verse 8, and he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt and all the wise men thereof. And Pharaoh told them his dream, but there was none. There was none that could interpret them unto Pharaoh. There was none that could interpret them unto Pharaoh. And so one commentator, thank you, sir. One commentator as well said, he said this. He said, all the wise men of Pharaoh's court were helpless. They were helpless to explain the revelation of God, for it takes more than the wisdom of this world to understand divine revelations. I think that's well said. I think that's well said. By the way, the same thing is true today. That's why the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 14, the natural man, the unsaved man, the man who is spiritually dead in sin and has not been born again, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. Bottom line is simply this. Unsaved men will never be able to give a proper understanding of the things that God has revealed. Unsaved men will never be able to give a proper understanding of the things that God has revealed. So all the magicians, all the wise men, men who are usually counted on to give the meanings of the dreams, they're baffled. It's baffling to them. They cannot imagine what these dreams that their Pharaoh had. They cannot imagine what it must have meant. But not only were these dreams troubling, and not only were they baffling, number three, they were also provoking. They were provoking. And I say they were provoking in the sense that they actually provoked the chief butler to remember Joseph. They provoked the chief butler to remember the promise that he had made 2 years before. Don't worry, Joseph. I got your back. You can count on me. Now 2 years later, he's provoked. And he remembers the promise. He remembers the promise that he made. And so the Bible says in verse number 9, that then spake the chief butler unto Pharaoh, saying, I do remember my faults this day. I really messed up, Pharaoh. I remember my fault. And then the chief butler, he reminds Pharaoh of the story there in verse 10, that how that Pharaoh was wroth with his servants, put me in ward in the captain of the guard's house, both me and the chief baker. And so he reminds Pharaoh of this thing that happened a couple of years before, how that he had put them into prison. And he tells how that while in the prison, the butler and the baker, they had some dreams. And he tells them about the dreams that they had in chapter 41, verse 11. In verse number 12 and verse number 13, he then tells about the interpreter that was in the prison. And he begins to tell them about Joseph. He begins to tell them of his nationality, how that he was a Hebrew. He wasn't an Egyptian, but he was a Hebrew there who was in Pharaoh's prison house. He tells him about his nationality, tells him about his position, how that he was a servant to the captain of the guard. He's not just a common prisoner. He's actually a prisoner who would, in the States we call them trustees. They are prisoners who have earned a place of trust, and so they are elevated to a place of service. And so they tell him about his nationality, tell him about his position. And then they also told Pharaoh all about Joseph's accuracy. Everything that man told us, that's exactly how it played out. Because you promoted me back to my place, and the chief baker, you executed. Just like the dream said, just like the interpreter said. And so because of these things, we find then number two, Pharaoh's command. Pharaoh's command. As we consider the command of Pharaoh, a couple of points here. First of all, there is the call. The call. In verse number 14, then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph. After hearing the testimony of the chief butler, Pharaoh says, I want to meet this guy for myself. I want to see him for myself. And so he sends the order down that Joseph is to be released from the prison. And he calls for Joseph to be brought into his presence. And so we see the call. Letter B, we see the response. We see the response, verse number 14 and verse number 15. The Bible says that, or verse 14, and he brought him hastily out of the dungeon, and he shaved himself and changed his raiment and came in unto Pharaoh. Notice there's a couple of things that we see here. First of all, there's Joseph's grooming. He shaved himself. And then there's also his changing. He took off the prison garb and put on some different clothes. After all, it wouldn't be good to appear before the king looking scruffy and wearing prison clothes. And so he fixes himself up and he prepares himself to go in and to stand before the presence of the Pharaoh. So there's the response to the call. And then we see the declaration that is given in verse number 15. Pharaoh makes the declaration when he said unto Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, there is none that can interpret it. And I have heard say of thee that thou canst understand a dream to interpret it. In other words, Pharaoh says, Joseph, I've heard about you. I've heard that not only can you interpret or you understand the dream, you can tell what the meaning is. You can tell what the meaning is. And so there's the declaration that is made by the Pharaoh. But then I want you to notice from Joseph, we see the answer that is given. There's the answer from Joseph. Now there are many who perhaps would have said, well, Mr. Pharaoh, it's true. What you've heard about me, it's absolutely true. I've had success in understanding dreams. I have to admit, very humbly, of course, that not only have I had success in understanding dreams, but I have an accuracy rating of 100%. But see, Joseph, we've seen this all along, right? If Joseph was anything, he was a man of character. And you see, Joseph was already practicing something in his life that later on the wise man would talk about over in the book of Proverbs chapter 25 verse number 6 when he said, put not forth thyself in the presence of the king. You know what that means? That simply means when you go before the presence of a king, you don't brag on yourself. You don't boast about what you have done. You don't put yourself forth. You don't exalt yourself when you're in the presence of a king. You don't do that. You don't do that. And by the way, not only did the wise men say that in Proverbs chapter 25, but by the way, the Lord Jesus taught the very same principle. In Matthew chapter 23 and verse number 12, the Lord Jesus said, whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased. Whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased. And he that shall humble himself, that's the one that's going to be exalted, see. That's the one that's going to be exalted. And so instead of exalting himself, instead of boasting about what he had done, what he had accomplished in this area of interpreting dreams, Joseph in chapter 41 and verse number 16, Joseph answered Pharaoh saying, it is not in me. It's not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. It's not me. It's not me. But it's the God I serve. He's the one. He's the one who will give the answer that you need. In other words, what Joseph did was basically three things. He demoted himself. He demoted himself. He glorified his God. Glorified his God. It's God who gives the answer. And then he revealed his faith. He revealed his faith. Before Joseph had even heard Pharaoh's dreams, before he even knew what the interpretation of those dreams was going to be, I want you to notice he declared, it will be, whatever it is, it'll be an answer of peace. It'll be an answer of peace. In other words, he knew that no matter what was revealed, it would be for Pharaoh's good. It would be for God's glory. And so it would be an answer of peace. And as a result of that, Pharaoh then, in verse 17 down to verse number 24, he told Joseph what he had dreamed. He told him all about the cow dream. Told him all about the corn dream. Told him all about the things that he had dreamed. And then came, number three, Pharaoh's revelation. Pharaoh's revelation. We see, first of all, the meanings were revealed. The meanings were revealed in chapter 41, verse 25, down to verse number 31. We find that the seven fat cows and the seven fat ears of corn, both of those represented the same thing. The fat cows and the fat ears of corn represented the fact that in the land of Egypt there were going to be 7 years of great plenty. There's going to be 7 years of bumper crops for 7 years. But then the seven thin cows and the seven thin ears of corn represented the fact that there were going to be 7 years of a terrible famine. In fact, that famine is going to be so great, it's going to be so severe that it's actually going to eat up all of the plenty that was found in the first 7 years. It's going to destroy it all. And this Bible says in verse number 31, the plenty shall not be known in the land by reason of that famine following, for they shall be very grievous. The meaning of the dream is revealed. But not only do we see the meanings of the dreams revealed, we also see the certainty declared. The certainty declared. Notice in verse number 32, and for that the dream was doubled upon Pharaoh. In other words, Pharaoh, you've dreamed this same thing. It has the same meaning, and it's been repeated. It's been doubled. And here's the reason why. It is because the thing is established by God. It's established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. And so we see not only the meanings are revealed, but the certainty of it all is declared, that this is something God is absolutely going to do. Nothing's going to change it. It's going to happen like this. And with that, then, we see number four, Pharaoh's counsel. Pharaoh's counsel. Now, you remember the work of the seer. The work of the prophet. It was a twofold work. First of all, he was a foreteller. A foreteller. That simply means he told what was going to happen in the future. He foretold what was going to come to pass. The seer, the prophet, was a foreteller. But not only was he a foreteller, he was also a forth teller. A forth teller. By that I simply mean this. After telling men what was going to come in the future, he would then tell them what you need to do to prepare for that. What you need to do in light of the fact that this is going to come to pass. Here's how you ought to respond. Here's what you need to do. In fact, one commentator, I think he said it like this very well. He said, the prophet prescribed the duties of the present in light of the predicted future. This is what you need to do now, because this is what's coming. See? This is what's coming. And so after revealing what was going to come, Joseph then gave Pharaoh some counsel about what he ought to do. And there were basically two things that he said. First of all, he said, you need to select leadership. You need to select leadership. Verse number 33, now therefore let Pharaoh look out a man discreet and wise and set him over the land of Egypt. Here's the situation. You know what's coming. So my advice to you now is, in light of that, you need to choose a man. You need to select some leadership that you're going to put over the land of Israel, or over the land of Egypt, I'm sorry. That you're going to put over the land. But not only do you need to select leadership, you also need to delegate responsibility. You need to delegate responsibility. In other words, that chosen leader that you are going to choose to put over the land of Egypt, that chosen leader should then be authorized. In other words, it needs to be someone you can trust as the Pharaoh. You need to choose a leader that you can trust and that you are willing to authorize to do some things. First of all, you need to authorize them to appoint officers. You need to authorize them to appoint officers. Genesis 41, verse number 34. And not only do you need to authorize them to appoint officers, but you also need to authorize them, Genesis 41, verse 34, down to verse number 36, you need to authorize them to appoint responsibilities. And so as you read through, you find that these men, they were entrusted with the responsibility to gather one-fifth of the harvest. During those 7 years of great plenty, they were authorized to take one-fifth of the harvest from all of the farmers in the land, and they're to bring that into Pharaoh's storage house. They're to bring it into Pharaoh's storage house. And the reason for that, the harvesting the grain during the 7 years of plenty was so that when those years of hard times came, and when the years of famine came, verse number 36, it was so that the land perish not. That the land perish not through the famine. Again, we have seen in our study that Joseph was a faithful prophet. He was a faithful seer. He was faithful in that he spoke the truth. He didn't just tell about all the good points. He told the bad side too. He told the truth about what was coming, whether it was good or bad, whether it was a time of blessing or a time of cursing. He told the whole story. He did not leave anything out. Did not leave anything out. He spoke the truth, but not only did he speak the truth, but he also declared the responsibility. The responsibility. The responsibility that comes with knowledge. Did you realize that's a true statement? Did you realize that the more you know, the more responsible you become? God will hold you accountable not only for what you do, He'll hold you accountable for what you knew. Right? And God, to whom much is given, the Bible says, much is required. Much is required. And so he spoke the truth and he declared the responsibility. And next time we're going to see Pharaoh's wise response. His wise response to Joseph's counsel. But the question I want to close with this morning, the question is simply this. How do you respond? How do you respond when God's word is presented to you? When God's truth is declared to you, how do you respond to it? How do you respond to it? Do you respond with a humble submission? Do you respond with a humble obedience? Or do you respond with a stubborn refusal that I'm going to have it my way? I'm going to do what I think is best. I'm going to do what I think is right. By the way, let me just remind you. The Bible says there is a way that seems right to a man. But the end thereof is the way of death. How do you want to respond? Will you respond with humble obedience or with stubborn refusal? May God help us to be like Pharaoh. To be like Pharaoh. In other words, may God help each one of us to be just exactly like what the Apostle James said in James chapter 1 and verse 22. May God help us to be doers of the Word and not hearers only. To be doers of the Word. In other words, when God's Word is presented, instead of rebelling against it, refusing to submit to it, may God help us to have a heart that is willing not only to hear, but willing to obey. To do exactly what it is that God would have for us to do. If you're here this morning, you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, that's where God's will begins for you. It's God's will that you might turn from your sin and might call on the Lord Jesus Christ who loved you as we sang about and talked about earlier this morning, who loved you and died for you, that you might have the gift of God, which is eternal life. How are you going to respond to that message? As a believer in Jesus Christ, God has a plan, a purpose for your life. We talked about it in the Sunday school hour. How are you going to respond to that message? May God help us to respond with obedience, with humility, with a heart full of thanksgiving for the blessings that God has made so available. to us. Let's stand together, please.